In Genesis chapter 12, the Lord gave Abraham a mission. In Exodus chapter 3, the Lord gave Moses a mission. In Joshua chapter 1, the Lord gave Joshua a mission. In Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord gave Isaiah a mission. And I am so honored and excited and pleased to announce to you that in Matthew 28, the Lord gives you and I a mission. I am so excited that the Lord has entrusted to you and I a mission. He has called us. He called Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Isaiah, many others, and now he calls us. Would you please open your Bibles to Matthew 28, 16, and stand with me as we read our mission. Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart and help you to receive this commission as though you were there hearing it from the Lord Jesus for the very first time? Will you pray now for the other people in this room, that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, and that in humble, soft, open, trusting, submissive hearts, they would receive this mission from Jesus Christ as though they were hearing it for the very first time. Now, would you take a few moments and pray for me? This passage is so powerful. I cannot possibly preach it with the same power that it was originally intended. I need God. Just as Jesus promised to be with us as we carry out the Great Commission, pray that Jesus would be with me as I preach this passage. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. O God, we pray that this beautiful passage would change our lives forever today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. You should have your notes in front of you in the bulletin. As always, if you have a smartphone, simply load your YouVersion Bible app. Go to the live option. Enter our zip code 92201. Select Trinity Baptist Church, and you will have the notes and the scriptures on your phone. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. The beautiful story of the life of Christ ends where it began, in Galilee. Jesus is a Galilean. His disciples are Galileans, and now they return home. And here is their beautiful first example of obedience. The Lord rose from the dead, and he gave them one command. He says, "Meet me in Galilee." And they obeyed. They go to Galilee as commanded, and here they have this beautiful reunion. Verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Do you remember the beginning of Jesus' ministry? The very beginning, Satan comes to him and tempts him. And he says, "I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you bow down and worship me." Jesus, of course, did not do that. And now Jesus Christ has been given much more than Satan could have possibly offered him. All authority has been given to Christ. Two words I want you to look at. Number one is the word all. All authority has been given to Christ. Number one in your notes. Jesus Christ has absolute authority over the whole universe. Jesus Christ has absolute authority over the whole universe. The prophet Daniel saw this happening. Would you join me in Daniel chapter 7? Daniel chapter 7, Daniel has this vision of four great beasts, which are four kingdoms. These four great beasts come up, and picking it up from verse 11, all four beasts have already been introduced. And at verse 11, "Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain, its body destroyed, and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Trinity Baptist Church, Jesus Christ is the King. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. What does that statement mean to you? I want you to think about what that means in our lives. I want you to think about what that means to you as an individual. And I want you to think about what it means to us as a church. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ. What does that mean to you? Would you join me in Romans 14? Romans 14. Let's start with verse 7. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Jesus Christ is Lord of the universe. Because he is Lord of the universe, everyone in the world is under his authority. The first word I want you to see is all. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ. The second word I want you to see is given. All authority has been given to Christ. The question you should be asking is, who gave him that authority? And the only possible answer is God the Father. God the Father has given Christ all authority over the universe. Jesus is not Lord over the Father, but the Father now rules the universe through the Son. Please turn to Philippians chapter 2. Paul explains beautifully what has taken place. Philippians 2:5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is the highest authority in the universe. He is the highest authority in your life. He is the highest authority in this church. He is higher. He has been given more authority than any president that has ever lived or will ever live. Any magistrate, any king, any government, Jesus Christ is the highest authority in the universe. Verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Since Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he commands all of his disciples to go and lead people into a relationship with him. That is our marching orders. This is the greatest thing. This is the greatest thing. Jesus Christ has decided to save the world, and he wants to do it through you. Incredible. Incredible. My life was changed forever when I read 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us." Incredible. When Isaiah received his commission, the Lord said, "Who will go and help me? Who will go for me? Who shall I send?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me." There is no need to look for meaning and purpose in life. There is no need to search for anything deeper than this. The God of the universe, through his Son Jesus Christ, has commanded you to be his representative to save the world. Incredible. In your notes, if you want to be a follower of Christ, your life must be devoted to making disciples. If you want to be a follower of Christ, your life must be devoted to making disciples. Now, the question you better ask is this: what is a disciple? If that's what your life should be all about, what is a disciple? Number three in your notes: a disciple is a student who devotes himself to following and obeying a master. A disciple is a student who devotes himself to following and obeying a master. And number four in your notes, making disciples means leading someone into a student-master relationship with Christ. Making disciples means leading someone into a student-master relationship with Christ. This is Jesus' command to his church. We are to devote ourselves to bringing people into a relationship with our King. Now, Jesus goes on. He doesn't leave us with that general statement. He makes it more specific. He says, when you do that, when you bring people into a relationship with me, I want you to do two things. And these are two very important things, church. These are very important things, and we must not neglect either one of them. He says, number one, I want you to baptize them. I want you to baptize them. Why? In your notes, number five, baptism is an act of identification with Christ. Baptism is an act of identification with Christ. Number six in your notes, baptism is a statement. When you stand in that baptistry, you are making a very powerful and very simple statement. It is a statement that you are commanded to make. And it is this statement: I belong to Christ. I belong to Christ. And finally, number seven, baptism is the mandatory sign of union and submission to Christ. That is what you are saying. When you enter that baptistry, you are saying, I want to be united with Jesus, and I want to submit to Jesus. And baptism is the mandatory sign of that fact. What I want you to see, Trinity Baptist, what I want you to see is that baptism is not an option. Baptism is not an option. Jesus says, all those who choose to be my followers must be baptized. Baptism, number eight, in your notes, baptism is the believer's commanded initiation ceremony. Don, are you with me? Baptism is the believer's commanded initiation ceremony. So often we get this wrong. So often we get this wrong, and that's why I want to stress this. Baptism is seen as an extra step for the really sold out believer. Isn't that how we see it? You pray to receive Christ, and then years later, man, I'm really ready now. I want to be baptized. And that's not the way it is at all. That's wrong. Baptism is not an extra step for the truly committed. Baptism is the first thing you do when you want to be a follower of Christ. Please turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2:32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. This is Peter preaching to the people. Verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. It is not an option. It is not an option. Repentance does not save you. Baptism does not save you. Nothing you do saves you. Christ and his work saves you. You are saved the moment you embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But I want you to see this. Baptism is the official God-ordained way to indicate your desire to belong to Christ. It is not an option. It is not an option. Jesus says, if you want to be my follower, be baptized. It's not an extra step.
It's not an extra step for the committed. It's not an extra step once you get to a certain point. It's what you do immediately. And it's not an option. I've told you of the dear boy in the country of Iran, or I believe it's Iraq, who came home to his father one day and he said, "I want to be a follower of Christ." And the father said, "Well, you know what? I think that's a terrible idea. So I want to discourage you against that." And the boy continued going to church, and the boy continued to listen to the missionary. And one day the boy came home and said, "Dad, I'm going to be baptized." And the dad said, "Son, I want to make one thing perfectly clear to you. I've tolerated this talk of Jesus, but if you are baptized, I will kill you." The boy went through with it and was never heard from again. Have you been baptized? Have you been baptized? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you are saved the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But if you have not been baptized, you have not obeyed the Lord. You need to identify with Jesus in the way He commands you to. Okay, let's look back at verse 9. Verse 19, I'm sorry. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I command." The first thing we do when we win someone to Jesus is we baptize them. The second thing we are commanded to do is to teach them to obey everything I command. Number 9 in your notes, we are commanded to train others to be devoted followers of Christ. We are commanded to train others. Don, you with me? We are commanded to train others to be devoted followers of Christ. This command is for everyone in the church. Everyone. Number 10 in your notes, all followers of Jesus must lead others to follow Jesus. All followers of Jesus must lead others to follow Jesus. If you are not doing this, you are not obeying Christ. So the question is, what are Jesus' commands? If we are to teach people to obey Jesus' commands, we've got to know what they are. Don't have time to list every single one of them, but they can all be summarized in one word. And that word is love. That word is love. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, 34. If you're following along on your phone, it's going to pick up at verse 37, so just stay with me. If you've got the Bible, let's start with verse 34. "Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, one of them an expert in the law, testing him with this question, 'Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands.'" Number 1, love God. What are Jesus' commands? A, love God. How do you love God? How do you love God? Deuteronomy chapter 11 says this: love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. That's how to love God. Joshua 22 tells us how to love God. Joshua 22 verse 5, be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, to love the Lord your God, walk in all his ways, and obey his commands. Hold fast to him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's Joshua 22:5. That is how to love God. To love God is to obey God. That is how we love God. Loving Jesus is exactly the same. Please join me in John 14. John 14, 15. Jesus says this: if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If you hadn't noticed, that is the theme verse of Trinity Baptist Church. That whole passage I just read, on the back of your bulletin, you have the Trinity Baptist Church mission statement, and that passage is there every single week. That passage is the theme of Trinity Baptist Church, because the entire purpose of Trinity is to obey Jesus together. That is the whole point of the church. B, what are Jesus' commands? B, love other disciples. Love other disciples. You're in John 14. By the way, put a bookmark there in John 14. It's the theme verse of our church, and we're going to come back to it. Put a bookmark in John 14 and flip over one page to John 13. And you have what's called the Great Commandment. John 13:34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. How do we do that? How are we supposed to love one another? Flip over to Matthew 25. And Jesus spells it out for us, how we're supposed to love one another. Matthew 25, 31. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world, for I was hungry. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The King, Jesus Christ, will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Incredible passage. Incredible passage. You want to devote your life to loving Jesus? This is how to do it. That is why we have such an emphasis on providing Bibles for our persecuted brothers and sisters. Because our whole purpose as a church is to come together and love Jesus. And Jesus says, when you give a disciple food or clothing or shelter or visitation or a Bible, you're doing it for me. C. What are Jesus' commands? A. Love God. B. Love other disciples. C. Love the lost. Love the lost. How do we love the lost? Very simple. Lead them to Christ. Lead them to Christ. The most loving thing you will ever do for anyone. The most loving thing you will ever do for anyone is to lead them to Christ. I hope that you use the gospel tracts that we have in abundance here at Trinity Baptist Church. So often you say, "I don't know what to say." And I've experienced that myself. I don't know what to say. Well, we've offered training courses a couple times on what to say. And there's several people in this room that can help you with that. The next time we go out one by one, Indio, come with us and partner up with someone who really knows what to say, and they can teach you and they can train you. But the gospel tracts are great, and I hope that all of you will use those gospel tracts. Well, I don't know about you, but the mission sounds hard, doesn't it? Mission sounds pretty overwhelming. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, says Jesus. Go into all the world and lead people to be my followers. A huge, huge task. It would be impossible if it were not for the last sentence in Matthew. Would you look at that with me, please? The final sentence in the book of Matthew. "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." When Matthew tells us about the birth of Jesus, way back in Matthew chapter 1, quoting Isaiah chapter 7, he says this: the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Trinity Baptist Church, final note. Final note for the book of Matthew, number 11. We are not on our own. Jesus is with us and will be with us always. We can do it. There is no reason to fear. There is no reason to shrink back. There is no reason to think the job is too big. By the way, I challenge you to look at missions history. Look at the history of the church. We started right here in Matthew 28. Jesus said, go and make disciples, and then he went back up to heaven. That was the beginning of our effort to evangelize the world. We've been doing it for over 2,000 years, and the professionals that study this are now saying, hey, we can get this done. For thousands of years, it's been, oh my goodness, this is such an impossible task. Africa and Asia and the Middle East and Indonesia and the Philippines and South America and all these lost people with thousands and thousands of countries that have never heard the gospel, thousands of people that have never heard Jesus Christ, thousands of people that have no Bible in their own language. And we've been doing it for 2,000 years, and the professionals are starting to say, hey, there's light at the end of the tunnel. If we will make a final push, we can get it done before you and I are dead. Yeah. Bible translation. When I started looking at it, there was 4,000 languages that do not have the Word of God in their own language. And the Lord raised up missionaries, and we moved, and we faithfully translated the Bible, and then it got down to 3,999. And the Lord raised up missionaries, and miracles happened, and we got it down to 2,099. And you know what happened in 2011? It's down to 1,999. And all we have to do is devote ourselves, and we can do it. And we can do it. And we can do it because Jesus is with us always. Jesus is with us always. I ask you to stay in John chapter 14. Go back there with me. John 14:15 again. Theme verse of Trinity Baptist Church. Theme passage. If you love me, you will obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. One way that Jesus is always with us is by living in our hearts. Jesus promised he would give his Spirit to all his followers. You may be looking at your Bible, and I don't know how long you've been a part of Trinity Baptist, but you may look at your Bible and may notice something. Do you notice something? We're done with Matthew. And you may be wondering, what next? What is that crazy pastor going to do next? This is what we're going to do next. Christ in our hearts. The name of the next sermon series is My Heart, Christ's Home. And it starts August 14th. And I really hope you'll be here. It's going to be a lot shorter than the Matthew series. But we're going to have a great time. My Heart, Christ's Home. It starts August 14th. Brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist Church, we have come to the end of our study of the life of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew. And I wonder, what response should we have? What response should we have? The disciples gathered in Galilee and they worshiped him. And they devoted their lives to his final command. And all of those who seek to be followers of Jesus Christ should join them. My question to you as we close the book of Matthew is, will you join the disciples? Will you join the disciples in carrying out his final command? Would you turn with me to Acts chapter 1? Acts 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. And spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go." For the disciples, this was not the end. This was the beginning of joining with Jesus in his agenda to save the world. This is the end of our study in Matthew. But for Trinity Baptist Church, and for you personally, it should not be the end. It should be the beginning. We've studied Jesus' birth. We've studied his miracles. We've studied his teaching. We've studied his death. We've studied his resurrection. And now we have our marching orders. Will you join Jesus in saving the world? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that Trinity Baptist Church would be faithful. Would be faithful. Touch us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Use us mightily. Help us to be faithful
to obey the Great Commission. In Jesus' name, amen.